Welcome, guests, to a storm of spoilers.
Franklin, that's enough.
This behavior, miles beyond a glitch here.
This week, Delos is proud to welcome you to Westworld, where basically everything is a lie. Be forewarned that this discussion assumes from the start that you have caught up with the most recent episodes of HBO's Westworld. If you've been missing HBO drama over analysis that leads to crazy speculation, this is the episode for you. We're not spoiling, we've just entered analysis mode.
Access your current build. She'll have such revenges on you. Both. The things I will do. What they are, yet I know not. But they will be the terrors of the earth. You don't know where you are, do you? You're in a prison of your own sins.
Hello and welcome back to Storm of Spoilers off season tour. My name is Dave Gonzalez, and despite my better intentions, I would probably go Black Hat in the world of Westworld.
My name is Joanna Robinson. I would definitely go Black Hat in the world of Westworld.
And I'm Neil Miller, and I guess I'm going to have to go White Hat because someone has to be the good guy. Someone has to be a good guy with a gun here.
Just to offset all this villainy coming from the other side of the microphone.
Seriously, I feel like we're living in some dark times, guys. Someone has to be the champion, the White Knight, if you will.
I will.
You, of course... Tuned to a Storm of Spoilers, where was that like white? No, I'm not going to go too far into whether or not Neo was making some sort of cross Crichton book reference.
Oh, I thought he was making a KKK reference.
Oh, great. Sweet.
Wow. Neither.
None of those. Okay.
Well, this is the show where we showcase many different interpretations of our favorite pop culture while Game of Thrones is in the off season. And this week we get to do Westworld, which I don't know if you guys have been around with Storm of Spoilers from the beginning, but it started off where I was listening to this great podcast about Game of Thrones called Cast of Kings that Joanna was on. And I would hear their conversation about the episode, which I enjoyed. And then I would hear the moment where Joanna would have to like stop saying something because it was technically a spoiler, but it was something that was in the books that could have been adapted at all sorts of places. And I was like, hey, you should have a podcast where you could talk about your crazy spoiler stuff. Now I'm going to do the same thing with Decoding Westworld this week. And Neil and I are going to pry the craziest of crazy theories out of Joanna, who thus far has been, you know, you've been hitting a pretty good batting average in your crazy Westworld theory category of season one.
I've definitely done worse.
Props on that.
I've definitely done worse than my theorizing earlier this year. Jon Snow is a direwolf. Ugh. Never forget.
Yeah. That did get my hopes up, but that's also not your fault. Anyway, before we start all that, we have a little bit of business to take care of up front. Joanna, do we have any reviews this week?
Pretty great review. Well, we have a few, so thank you guys so much. But we've got one from Do the Do 22222. And this is 5 stars. They're about to throw down in the headline. An excellent podcast about a mediocre show. I'm an avid hate watcher of Game of Thrones, and this podcast is the best of the best when it comes to analysis, commentary, and commentary on the show. The spoilers really and truly add to my enjoyment. The hosts have a great chemistry and their interactions make the discussion fun to listen to. I used to listen to Neil on Five Guys of the Movies, and I've really enjoyed getting reacquainted with him. Joanna
what?
And Dave are new. Are you not on that podcast?
I was a long time ago.
Should I not have done that?
Okay. No. That's funny.
Okay.
It's very funny.
I'm going to pick it back up there. I used to listen to Neil on Fat Guys with Movies, and I've really enjoyed getting reacquainted with him. Joanne and Dave are new voices for me, but I've already started to listen to Decoding Westworld, and I look forward to listening to their other podcasts in the future. The off-season roundup is an excellent mix of things that I am well acquainted with and shows I haven't seen any of. In both cases, the podcast really increases my interest in the subject matter. I've even almost considering watching American Horror Story. Any chance this pod goes beyond the end of Game of Thrones? Anyway, this podcast is awesome. P.S. Joanna has never been wrong in any of her political statements on the show. PBS, it might be too late, but if you guys could use Tessa Thompson's role in Veronica Mars in any description of who she is, my pop culture world is very Veronica Mars-centric, and the few times I've heard Joanna describe who Tessa Thompson is, I wish Veronica Mars received a mention. You're in luck, do the do, 22222. I referenced her and Veronica Mars just this last week on Decoding Westworld, and I will definitely do so again in this episode.
Wow.
Excellent.
That was a heck of a review.
I guess we could do a Veronica Mars thing. Yeah, that was like a longtime fan from a lot of different things.
It was all the things.
Coming together. Yeah. I like that. It's been a good week for reviews.
Neil, when did you do that other project?
That has to be years ago at this point. It still exists to my knowledge. I don't listen anymore, but I mean, God.
Lost too much weight.
Yeah, obviously. God, that's got to be like 3-4 years ago. So, hey, thanks for sticking it out.
Thanks, do the do, 22222.
That person. You're the best.
There you go.
I bet there's a melody that his name goes really well with, and I'll find that.
No.
Like 5 minutes after he starts.
No.
Anyway, Neil. Game of Thrones has a release coming up out already. Tell me more.
Yes. So we have some news. The Game of Thrones Blu-ray is out this week. By the time you're listening to this episode, it will have been out for at least a day, which means that hardcore fans probably already own it. There's a couple cool things that there are on there. I know one of the things I was looking forward to that actually ended up on Watchers on the Wall is the part of their Histories and Lore series, which is they do these on all the different DVDs where it tells some of the stories, the backstories from the book, some of the things that didn't make it into the show or things that are referenced in the show. And it's animation, but one of the characters is narrating. So they have one on there about the great tourney at Harrenhal, which we discussed quite a bit this past season, especially around Jon Snow's parentage and how the union of Rhaegar Targaryen and Lyanna Stark kind of came to be. So apparently it is narrated by Ellie Kendrick, who plays Mira Reed, and it's pretty cool. And then Joanna mentioned right before we came on the air a deleted scene that I haven't even had a chance to open my Blu-ray yet, so I haven't dug into this. Tell me.
It's up on YouTube, but I watched it over on Up Rocks, post by friend of the show Josh Karp. And it's a couple of deleted scenes, a bunch of Dolores Ed stuff, so I feel really bad for the actor.
Poor Ed.
Ben Crumby? I just made that up. I feel bad for that actor because a lot of his stuff got cut. But then it has, I think, the entire, oh gosh, I don't remember what it's called now, but the fake play that they did last season. It had a great name, but I don't remember what it is. that Arya watches in Braavos. And Josh's headline was perfect because so it's like a bunch more of the play that we didn't see, but you also get more crowd commentary. And there's one scene where there are these like two awful prissy women who are like, you know, obscenities and vulgarities, how original. And then Arya turns to them and she goes, well, just leave then or something like that. And it's like the most obvious meta commentary about like critics who, cause they also criticize the nudity in the show. So it's just like, Josh, the word Josh used to describe it was petty. And I think I have to agree. Like I have definitely been pettier in my life, but this is a pretty petty, like little lash out, via Maisie Williams at critics of Game of Thrones, I would say. And they cut it. So, you know, that's fine. They filmed it. I'm sure it was cathartic to film it. And then they were like, yeah, you know what? All right. Well, let's not put that in the show.
Clear heads prevailed in the end.
Maybe we can just be one of the most successful shows in the world and win all the Emmys and not be super angry. I don't know. It's fine.
Yeah. That sounds good to me.
Yeah. So the Blu-ray's out. That's really the big news. There are, and it's worth noting that in a future episode, as soon as I have scoured the entire Blu-ray, we'll do some fun like trivia and facts of things we learned. I'm gonna write a, like I did last year for season 5, X amount of things we learned from the DVD commentary, which means I'm gonna be watching all of it multiple times. And
so impressive.
Yeah, it's just a lot of work. But hey, you gotta do something on Thanksgiving, right? So cool. The other production news, this really isn't a spoiler because it's more of a locational thing. They're shooting at a castle this week, and the castle has raised some Lannister flags, and it is been speculated that this might mean a trip to Casterly Rock, which has me excited for two reasons. Among some of the potential like location spoilery things that we've seen, the two rumored places, two of the places that I've wanted to see brought to life on the show, Highgarden and Casterly Rock, have been sort of bandied about. Like, we may see those two locations this year. And I just think that's really cool. Like, Casterly Rock, the description of the book is insane. Like, it literally just kind of hangs. It's just a big side of a mountain hanging over the sea. And it's this huge, supposedly this huge tall castle. So if they bring it to life in even some relative way to what it is in the books, I think that could be cool. Right?
Yeah. The illustrations in World of Ice and Fire of Casterly Rock are insane.
Yeah.
Right, and
so that could be fun.
When I interviewed George R. R. Martin's editor, she mentioned that illustration of Casterly Rock is like the most accurate thing you could find, because Martin worked so in concert with the artist to get every like turret and beam accurate. So check it out and look forward to a smaller, less towering version in the show, maybe.
Or maybe a heavily CGI'd awesome version.
Maybe
that would be fun. So that's really all the news we have. I'm still sort of gathering it. At some point we're going to do a whole episode of just what's out there, but you know, for now, be careful out there.
For sure. Guys, let's get on a train and head to Westworld through this ad. This is on the show, but also could be meta show, because I'm not exactly sure how to best deal with a Westworld discussion, knowing that everyone here is probably tuning in and knowing exactly what it is and is all cut up on like the episodes. I don't think we have to lay a lot of groundwork, but I feel like the best place we usually start is with how we like came about finding the material. It's a little more difficult. It's a HBO prestige drama. All of us were going to watch it anyway. So I guess what makes you like or dislike Westworld, as an overall story, at least of what it's shown you right now, Mr. Neil Miller?
Excellent question. I like a good science fiction. I really like anything with androids or robots, or the specter of robots taking over humanity. I will say that really what drew me into the show and the reason I watched it initially was the cast and some of the filmmaking talent behind it, with Christopher Nolan's brother Jonathan and his wife Lisa Joy as the producers, a little J.J. Abrams in there, which, you know, your mileage may vary on that at this point. But there's just a lot of really interesting filmmaking talent and really good cast. And now that I'm into it, now that we're, what, 7 episodes in, I really want this to kind of last a long time. Like, I want the different worlds of Westworld, like there was in the Michael Crichton, the original movie. There's like the Roman world, and I love the, just even if it'll never happen, the idea that they could do like a Westeros world and have, you know, like you could go be among the Dothraki.
How dare you suggest that Westeros world happen?
George R. R. Martin already suggested that.
Yeah. I did not react well to that news, and I'm not reacting well to Neil liking it.
But, you know, it's like a show that I don't know if it can go on beyond being part of you know, the old west, this old west theme park. But I think that's a really cool notion, and it's a really interesting way to maybe do an anthology series, because HBO seems to want to do that, but they can't quite get somebody to do it for more than one season, as we found with True Detective. So I don't know. I enjoy it even beyond the mystery, which we are going to talk about fan theories and the mystery box and all that stuff. I think it's just a fun world to be in, and these are interesting characters to spend time with, and that's what ultimately matters most. It is funny to me that I have not gotten as deep into like the theory stuff as we do with Game of Thrones, like on the non-podcasting writing side of things. I haven't written anything about Westworld theories because I'm just sort of enjoying my time there. So that's yeah. Where I'm at.
Joanna, I have a feeling I know that from reading your writing that you've at least found two characters that you kind of like, and they both seem to be hosts. But are you able to like also glob on to Westworld for character work?
Who are my two characters?
I think you like Maeve, and I think you're coming around to William.
Oh, he's not.
No, Dolores.
Oh, Dolores.
Dolores. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean,
said they were both hosts.
I would say that I actually feel more compelled by Bernard. I also like Elsie. I like a lot of the characters and the phenomenon, you know, I discussed this on the other podcast, but the phenomenon of this show has been, I watched the first four episodes, I think before Neil, and then Neil watched them after me, but both of us watched them all before it premiered. And then Neil was like, what did you think? I was like, it's okay. And I got some issues with it. And then it premiered and I got like sort of unexpectedly roped into this other podcast. And then I started really loving the show, and it just made me realize how much doing these podcasts helps me really, really love a TV show. And with Game of Thrones, it's gotten a little tricky because it's gotten so big that there's so much toxic fandom. And with Westworld, it's so nice because it's so new that it reminds me of when I first started doing Game of Thrones podcasts in season two, where it was just like a lot of debate and feedback and theories and all this sort of stuff, and like not people telling me to kill myself all the time. And so it's like, it's that kind of engaged, intense, excited fandom without the like seedy underbelly of it. And so it's been really, really, really fun.
It's like it's making pop culture podcasting great again.
Yeah, definitely did that. It's the Trump of prestige drama. So except the opposite, because Trump represents that seedy underbelly that I was talking about. So yeah, so it's amazing how much your perception of a show can change when you watch it as a community. And that's something I've really enjoyed. There are some, and you know, we'll talk more about fan theories, but like there's some things I figured out or got intrigued by on my own. Like I believe I told Neil before it premiered, I'm like, I'm pretty sure Jeffrey Wright's a robot. Like I think around screener two is where I decided that. And but like the multiple timeline stuff, the like Jimmy Simpson and Harris the same character stuff, like I wouldn't have gotten any of that on my own, at least not as early in the season. So it's been really fun. I think Reddit has sort of been outdoing itself on the show. You know, and when you have a Nolan brother who did Memento and The Prestige and most of Interstellar and J.J. Abrams, you are, of course, going to have, you know, it's mystery box meets like Nolan twistery. It's the ultimate twisty twistiness. And a lot of people compare it to Lost. I certainly think that's fair. And I think it's fun because I really do think it's not, you know, Mr. Robot drove me so freaking crazy, especially in season two, because I really do think that show is like all twist, no substance. I've heard the same thing levied at Westworld, but for me, there's substance in Westworld. And I know for some people, there's substance in Mr. Robot. But for me, this show, Westworld, sort of ticks a lot of the boxes. I've had a really good time with it. So, yeah, what about you, Dave?
Oh, I enjoy it as a sci-fi story for sure. I was a little concerned about the Nolan sterility of it at the beginning until I remembered I liked the Nolan sterility. it's sort of like when you're watching a whole bunch of television or movies You're, you know, sort of plugging into the experience at the level that the show wants you to plug in, and it doesn't always get to analyzing what the scene's about until after the distraction's over. Like, you know, Doctor Strange is in a fight with Caecilius, and I'm looking at the pretty visuals. I'm not looking for, like, any sort of context. Westworld has become a show that is urging you to review it in your head while you're watching it, and or at least it has been for me. And in that sense, I'm more engaged with it than I have been with a show probably since Game of Thrones. But I don't know if I necessarily like any of the characters outside of their piece of the puzzle yet. Which actually might end up being better, because if there's like cliffhangers and we have to wait a year for the next season, I might just be able to like turn off or go back and, you know, sift through things. So like basically after episode 3 aired, I started downloading each episode and splitting each scene up with the intention of when I know what order they go in, reordering the entire season.
Nice, nice.
And then doing that, you know, led to other different observations about like wardrobe, or at what point we split like narrative timelines, or like whether or not Dolores's flashes are actually in fourth dimensional time. So we're seeing the future narrative that Ford's creating where he rebuilds the church. So the idea that like I'm so engaged with the show that when Bernard doesn't see the door, I'm gasping already. And then that tension is just able to be held throughout the end of this week's episode is like, that's a successful show. Whether or not I like know that I'm like emotionally invested in it, I think it hit its peak right here. If they could just bring it all to something that feels like a conclusion in the next 3 episodes, I think it's something worth rewatching and dissecting, which is great.
I will say, I don't know if this is like sort of shiny new cow syndrome, and I don't know if that makes sense to people, if that's a reference people use, but like, I
don't
know.
Are there shiny cows?
New cow syndrome. It might be from like a terrible Hugh Jackman movie. But anyway, you know, it just means like fancying the new thing. So like, I don't know if it's that or what, but like, I will say that Bernard saying what door, and then that doesn't look like anything to me, and then killing Teresa was more thrilling television to me than Jon Snow dying, or spoiler alert for The Walking Dead, Glenn dying The Walking Dead. You know, these like big things that were supposed to be so big that everyone saw coming. Like, it's the same thing in Westworld. We all saw this coming, that Bernard is a robot, but they did it so well. It was so exciting to me the way they executed that. And yeah, so I don't know if it's just like, oh, this is the new show and I've fallen in love with it or what, but
you know what I think it is? I think it's you feel connected to the character within the context of the mystery. So like with, you know, with Jon Snow coming back, I feel like that was just too long. Like if it happened like the next episode, maybe, or the Glenn thing, you don't really feel it. It came so out of left field, but not like it was like they were trying to make you think that it wasn't going to happen, and then it happened even though you thought it was going to happen. This one was more of a, we kind of went through the experience with Bernard of discovering what he really was. And I thought that's more powerful because you're connected to that character's journey and you're feeling sort of at that point in the episode, I'm feeling connected to him trying to figure out what's going on. And I almost sort of forgot that I pretty much knew that he was a host. And then when he says, what door? I'm like, oh, shit, there it is. That's awesome. Like, that's how they're going to do it. That's great. They planted little seeds and it bloomed perfectly, which gives me hope that they can kind of close it in an interesting way.
Yeah. It's a Jenga tower, which is great when it's the prestige, but not when it's, I don't know, bad Jenga tower movies.
Interstellar.
sure.
My concern from the start was about the show sticking the landing. I feel pretty confident it's going to stick the landing of season 1. I don't know about the future. To your concern, Dave, Jimmy Simpson gave an interview this week where he said there is no bullshit cliffhanger of the season. So it's great news. So I feel like we're going to have I don't know about everything, but like the main questions of the season wrapped up and open a door to something else. Neil suggested like future world, Roman world, with all these other like things that are from the Crichton story. I don't know if you can have that without... Like, I don't know if Hopkins is going to survive this season, to be honest with you. Like, I see Hopkins and Ed Harris being, like, one season characters. But I can't see them doing these other worlds without, like, the Ford character as part of it. Like, that whole mythology, the whole backstory of it, you know? Like, I feel like it's hard to go there without that. But I don't know what they do. I don't know if they remain in world. My suggestion this week was that, you know, Maeve saying she wants to break out, like if she's successful. I mean, this is where I can talk about the spoilers that are in the like upcoming on this season on Westworld, which I don't talk about on the other podcast, which we've seen Tandy Newton and several other hosts, including Rodrigo Santoro's character Hector. So Maeve and Hector and some other people sort of tromping through the backstage of Delos, like affecting their, you know, uprising. If they successfully escape, you know, my theory is that perhaps we try to see them assimilate into the real world next season. So we get like the what happens after the end of Ex Machina when Alicia Vikander goes out into the world. Like, what will that be like for these robots? Or we could just reset the loop and start again. I don't know, but I'm excited.
Or they end up in a theme park that's next to them because they're on Mars and there's a Ford clone there.
They could. What was I going to say? Oh, the other thing we know is that season 2 is not coming back till 2018. So that is going to be a significant wait.
Yeah. Well, I think that's good because this is season shut down production to like get its shit together. So maybe they're just like, you know what? You got to build the Jenga tower one block at a time, one way or the other.
Yeah, right, which I guess
I'm all for the narrative.
You think they haven't figured out at this point, though?
Well, I think my problem with that would be, are they narratively taking into account 1 year gaps in between seasons in a 5 year plan like they've expressed? And if so, all of the hosts are going to die or get skinned because, you know, age, time happens.
Right.
And I mean, they could spend some money to age down Anthony Hopkins for a few shots, but I don't know how mainstream. Well, actually, you know what? No, if there's like a fifth season of Westworld, it's going to be as popular as shit. They'll just age down everybody. Never mind. That was stupid. That was almost a production thing that I figured out, and then I'm going to walk myself back. In terms of like where it could go, I think that we could definitely end up doing Future Worlds, which is like the hijacking of real people. So I would imagine that if there's a revelation that we could have at the end of this season that isn't as big as every, like, the park goes away or whatnot, it's that Delos is like making real people somehow.
Yeah.
Like a body hijacking. But I mean, yeah.
Soylent Green is getting there next week.
I mean, yeah. Well, I'm curious about the Teresa thing. This is very liberating, Dave. Thanks. Because in the preview for next week, we see Ford and Stubbs and Tessa Thompson's character Charlotte standing over Teresa's dead body in a morgue. So, like, my theory before I saw that scene was that, like, yeah, you know, as many people have guessed, that Ford is printing a Teresa clone so that he can have, like, a robot Teresa to control, and to cover up his murder. That might still happen, but if it does, it just means that Charlotte and Stubbs don't care that he's killed someone, and now she's a robot, so... but I believe that's what he did with Arnold. I believe he killed Arnold somehow, and now Bernard is the robot version of Arnold. So it could happen, but that morgue scene has me questioning. I really want Sibsa Babette Knudsen to come back because she's fantastic as Teresa Cullen. I thought she was amazing in this episode, but I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, she held her own against Anthony Hopkins at a childhood Mexican restaurant table.
Yes.
Which I greatly enjoyed that scene.
And her death scene, too, is just like so good because she's like still sort of trying to do some bravado as she's clearly like, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck in her head, you know? It's almost like, I don't know, Muldoon squaring off against the raptor. And she's just sort of like maintaining eye contact. Don't show how scared you are. It's fine. It'll be fine. And that's something I should have said earlier. One of the best parts about watching Westworld is like figuring out all the different Jurassic Park comparisons you can make. There's like 20 new ones each week. This week, my favorite, that popped up in my head and a lot of listeners' heads was, you know, Sylvester the tech tells Maeve that even the skin on her back is sort of designed to keep her there. And like the first thing I thought about was the lysine contingency. I was just like, this is great. This is so much better than Jurassic World. This is like Jurassic Park fan fiction, like weirdness. I love it so much. So
yeah, you know. I think that skin thing made me think that like even if they do like take over the park, I think we'll just be limited to them taking over the park for a while, unless whatever Arnold has programmed in these original bots is like not that, which would, you know, make a whole bunch of weird things about our final confrontation coming down. Joanna, how's this show going to end? I've been meaning to ask you all episode.
This season or ever?
This season.
This season ends.
We'll do the whole thing later.
This season ends with, the revelation of the 30-year time gap where William, who is the Man in Black 30 years ago in the Man in Black. So William with Dolores and the Man in Black with Teddy all converge in the center of the maze, and Dolores is doing her glitching back and forth in time thing. So we see whatever went wrong with her and Ted and William. And then we see the Man in Black desperately trying to get her to remember who he is and like love him, because I believe that's why he's there, is because he's so sad to have lost her. And for 30 years, he's been trying to like work it out by murdering every robot that he sees. And Ford dies. Those are my main predictions. I don't know what happens with the robot uprising, but I believe we're going to get like glitching back and forth in time with Dolores, the Man in Black, William. I think it's going to be really sad. I think it's going to be like lost sad, because like I think if people aren't on board with the 30-year time gaps theory, and I assume if you're listening to this podcast, you already are at least familiar with it. But there's this notion, right, that the story we're seeing with Jimmy Simpson's character, William, and Dolores, it took place 30 years ago, and something traumatic happens that turns Jimmy Simpson's character, William, into Ed Harris's character, the Man in Black. And I think it's all going to come to a head this season. Sadly, I think that actually means we won't see Jimmy Simpson again, because I don't think we're going to get like the intervening 30 years unless they make a robot clone of him. Like, I think like that's it for him. But I think a lot of people watching the show have become invested in the William and Dolores relationship, seeing it destroyed either by Dolores having her mind wiped or us discovering that she has been programmed to like seduce him. Do you know, like, she shows up and she seems like she's awakening, but maybe it's just like Westworld is like, this is the only way this guy who wants something real is going to fall in love or get seduced by a robot, is if we pretend she's awakening up. You know, something's going to happen. And I believe, you know, Ford will be there to twist the knife in William and like laugh at him. Logan will certainly laugh at him. William's going to go ballistic. Terrible things are going to happen. And he buys the park and becomes a major shareholder and gets to do whatever he wants 30 years in the future.
So wait, let's back up a second.
Sorry. Is that too much? Sorry, guys.
No, I will.
I'm in too deep.
I think like a third of the way through, I was like, I have to stop and write this down. So you are positing, theorizing that at the end of this season, the Man in Black and William will essentially be in the same room.
Right. But not
that,
really.
That part I don't know. Wait. So they're not he's not like meeting his future or former self.
No.
We're realizing that they were. So
we're
going to
get
question.
A rapid flash back and forth in time, I think.
Here's the question though. If the Man in Black had been there before, why is he looking for the maze? Why is he looking for the center of the maze?
That's a great question. I don't know the answer to that one.
That's a confusing part to me. Although they could end up in just kind of two different places, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I really don't know the answer. That's like such a good question, and I don't have a solid answer for that. But I think that, you know, he fell asleep on a train. Maybe he doesn't know how to get, you know, and he's trying to retrace his steps basically now 30 years later. Like, I don't know why he scalped that dude in the pilot. I'll tell you that much right now. That makes zero sense to me and why that was important.
Yeah, like, why did he need that map?
That map is everywhere in Westworld. So I don't know why he did that. I have to think that's like sort of vestigial pilot stuff that they didn't, that they're just like hoping we forget about. Because
was the only place that that map existed.
Right. And now they're like, let's brand it on everything. It's fine.
Well, it's not the map. It's the reminder that the game exists outside the park, because how do you tattoo something on the inside of your scalp?
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean that reminder? Like, what?
So, like, it's not a storyline that's, like, written...
Do you mean it's like
somebody
to show
by Ford? It's Arnold's game. It's like, yeah, so deep. It's like inside certain hosts somehow.
Right.
Notably.
Okay. But like, what does
Maybe.
That get him? Didn't he already know that? And what is
Maybe
scalp-
he didn't know that.
I don't know. I mean, it makes sense. If he's retracing his steps, it makes sense to me in episode 2 that he seeks out Lawrence, because he was with Lawrence when he was on the way to the maze. Right. So that all makes sense to me. I don't know why he then abandons him for Teddy to get him to Wyatt. Like, it's all, that's all, I don't quite know.
Yeah,
and that,
well, I mean,
and that's okay.
The scalp thing comes after the Dolores thing.
Yeah, so we don't know,
and we don't know what happened
yeah
there.
Yeah, he dragged her into that barn. That's another thing that I just assume that everyone is on board with, but I don't believe he like sexually assaulted her in the first episode. I believe he pulled her into the barn, because then we see a later scene where he's like, he brings out his knife, right? And he says, let's get reacquainted, Dolores. Let's start at the beginning. And that's where we start getting the flashbacks. So I don't know if, like, in the barn, he did something to trigger her. It's messy because she was already triggered by her dad. So, I really do think that there might end up being some, like, messiness from the pilot. Because they shot the pilot, and then a year later, they shot episode 2. And then, like, right, and then they shut down production around episode 6. And then they resumed. And so there's, like, there's stuff about that too, like the fact that Sid Zababit Knudsen dies in episode 7 when they shut production down in episode 6 makes me worry that they were like, this character isn't working, let's get rid of her. Let's bring, you know, let's make Tessa Thompson more important. Or like, you know, like there's stuff like that that makes me worry that they were doing sort of course corrections right around that time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I feel like that happens all the time. I mean, I think it's certainly true of the Lost pilot, right? Like, they kind of made the polar bears make sense later, but only because they like had to, right? You know, not because they actually had a plan. So, you know, they had a plan for other things, but I don't think they had a plan for the polar bear. So, yeah, I don't know.
So here's my additional question to your ending. Could there be 3 timelines?
Oh, there's definitely 3 timelines.
Well, I mean, like in the conclusion.
Oh, so like, well, I think we're going to get the revelation that there's a third timeline that we're watching, which is the Bernard and Dolores stuff, which is actually because I'm sorry if I'm just like rambling too much, but because I believe that Jeffrey Wright is like that Arnold looks is Jeffrey Wright, and the scenes we're seeing between Dolores and the guy who's played by Jeffrey Wright in the room is actually Arnold and Dolores 35 years ago. Yeah, I think we're going to get that revelation. I mean, the thing that made me think that is that when people were pretty sure Bernard was a robot and pretty sure there were 2 timelines, Casey Boyce from HBO was like, yeah, everyone's pretty close, but they're not quite there. And I'm like, ooh, not just a robot, but also Arnold, not just 2 timelines, but 3 timelines. So, you know, I actually have a further unproven crackpot theory that I'm really excited to debut on this show.
Hold on, before we get to that, I have a question.
Yeah
I have questions, so many questions about Westworld, because my assumption when I was watching it was that the Arnold quote-unquote Jeffrey Wright, the what's his name, Bernard, that Bernard talking to the hosts or Dolores or really any of that stuff was sort of like a VR thing where like they could, because like when she says like I'm in a dream, in her reality she's asleep and he's communicating with her like virtually. So like he's able to speak with her, you know, over Wi-Fi essentially. Because you notice like they never really like make contact during those scenes. It's just a conversation. They're in like potentially like different rooms. So I would almost say that my general theory on that is that there is a psychological link, not necessarily psychological, but there's a like a literal digital link between the hosts, and he can speak to them while they're sleeping, essentially. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. I have.
But you still think it's a third timeline?
Well, I mean, something that we saw in this week's episode was the room where Teresa dies looks identical to the room where Bernard is interviewing Dolores. Quote unquote, Bernard is interviewing Dolores. And in this episode, Bernard called it a remote diagnostics facility, the kind that Ford and his partner used before when the park was still in beta. So, like, I think we're seeing them in a literal diagnostics facility room. It could be VR. I mean, what you're saying better explains how Dolores can pop in and out of the park.
Right. Mind couldn't get over.
Right. But I think the reason your mind is having issues with that is because they're not showing it to you linearly in time. Mm-hmm. So like they're showing flashbacks to her out of the park. So when you're like the Ford one's a little trickier, honestly, but like with the Bernard stuff, I think we're just seeing a different time period. I was with you. I was like, how does he just like snatch her out of the park all the time? I liked the VR idea for a little while, but I've sort of firmly landed on this, and I could be wrong. Jon Snow, Direwolf, never forget. So
for me, the nicest like bow of that is that we eventually see him take her out of that up and out through the White Church, because that like has to be some sort of connecting thing. So we've seen that's where they are like doing the early tests on the robots, where we see the host lady actually in the park,
right,
with the parasol,
right.
It's in Dolores's flashes where she's killed everybody, maybe,
yeah.
And it's in the upcoming narrative that Ford's planning. So I feel like that's where the three timelines converge. I feel like Ford's building the test ground for the original.
Do you think present day or 30 years later, Ford is building the story of how the park was built?
I think he's building a situation where he's going to die in a similar situation to Arnold, but Dolores is going to have to be the one that kills him.
I think Dolores is the one who killed Arnold, but like Ford made her somehow, or Arnold made her. I don't know, but I think she did it. The steeple. You're so right, Dave. That the steeple might as well be the center of the maze, as far as I'm concerned. Like, it's very important. We see it burnt out and buried, and then like erect and painted white and all of that sort of stuff. And in the upcoming trailer, we see her like that's where she and William are headed, near the burnt down steeple. And he's like, you need to leave. This isn't good for you. And she says, no, Arnold wants me to be here. So like, I feel like she keeps coming back to that steeple. We'll see her do it three times, basically, because Arnold has programmed her somehow to do that. So and then we see flashes to the crazy shit that happens in the town. We see a shot of Dolores with a gun to her head. We've seen Dolores at her own grave, and so yeah, there's a lot of curious stuff going on with that steeple.
Crazy steeple. Let's jump over to Maeve. We still haven't seen her previous loop, and at least from the stuff that was in the very early Westworld preview, it looked like we were going to get more of that, or specifically a revelation of the maze carved into like her farmland area. It's being assaulted by the ghost tribe. Do we think that has anything to do with the current loop?
I don't know, honestly. Like, you know, I believe they're going to kill her daughter in a way that she doesn't come back, and that's why she gets transferred to the Mariposa, maybe. But like that symbol has been everywhere now in a way that makes it feel meaningless to me. Sort of like, I don't know, the Dharma Initiative symbol or something like that. It's like I could see that shot ending with her, because I know exactly what you're talking about. It's the symbol carved into the dust, and it's her in her older, you know, white sort of outfit with her daughter clutched in like a fetal position on the ground. Looks like her daughter might be dead, or they both might be dead. But I don't know, but I do know that I feel like a robot daughter would be a bullet for Maeve, an Achilles heel for Maeve. If she comes up against that little girl somehow, that's a bullet for her. A bullet for the Man in Black is a Dolores who remembers him. You know, all these people have their sort of like fatal weaknesses. And I feel like a bullet for Ford might be a Bernard robot who like suddenly remembers he's Arnold. Or something, you know, like these ghosts coming back to haunt them, sort of thing. Can I tell you my crackpot theory that I don't have enough evidence for yet?
Yes.
Yeah. There's a lot of holes in this theory. Are you ready? Yeah. A lot of people have a problem with Tessa Thompson's character, Charlotte, being so young and being on the board. So my theory, and I feel weird. There's a character named Charlie and there's a character named Charlotte. Charlie is Arnold's or Bernard's little boy. Charlotte is this 30 something year old woman. I don't have a perfect answer yet, but I kind of feel like she's somehow Arnold's daughter. And that's why she has a position on the board. And I could be really, really wrong about that, but that's my theory. I think Charlotte.
That makes sense.
Kind of, but the gender thing I can't quite make work, because not to get caught up in gender binary, but like, you know, I rewatched a couple scenes and like, you know, it's okay if like Bernard was sort of reprogrammed to think his, you know, sick daughter was a son, like that works for me. But like, in the thing that I am taking to be a real memory of Arnold and Dolores, he says my son. So I don't know. Maybe they had another kid and named it Charlotte. Maybe I don't have a good answer. I just have questions.
Maybe she used to be Charlie.
right. Yeah, exactly. It's the future, man. Like, what the fuck ever. That's a really tricksy twist though, right? Like, I was like, what if they were like, oh, she used to be a dude? You know, audience is gonna get mad at them hiding that twist that way. I don't know.
Anyway. Well, I mean, I think the audience is going to get mad if they botch a couple of different twists. Basically, if they've been, I don't know, I don't even know what like a malicious lie through montage would be at this point, because the Bernard reveal was so like successful. But I'm sure there's ways that I could feel bad, like the thing on the inside of the scalp. If that ends up being nothing, I'll be able to discard it if the rest of the show is great, but it'll still be like that one rotten part of the apple.
If Arnold winds up
perfect apple.
If Arnold winds up in like Jessica Chastain's bookcase, I'll be mad.
I've transcended space time. That's what Westworld is for.
If it turns out that Matthew McConaughey was the Man in Black this whole time.
Yeah, I'll be mad.
And it's in the Stephen King universe.
If Anne Hathaway is actually Maeve's daughter, I'll be mad.
So I want to hit
yeah
one more mystery and pick your brain. What's up with Teddy?
Yeah.
Is he all that he appears?
I have a couple thoughts on Teddy. I'm sorry, I'm just answering these. My concrete thought is that, you know, if we believe the William Man in Black 30 years apart thing, I believe Dolores is on like a punishment loop. She's got this terrible loop where she goes to town, she drops some milk, she goes paint some shit, she comes home, everyone she loves is murdered, she gets raped. She does that like every day, it seems like. I think that's a, you know, she's being punished.
Seems pretty chill.
And Ford tells Teddy that his job is to keep Dolores on her loop. So I feel like Teddy was created as something of her jailer. Because in an upcoming trailer, we see Teddy with a sheriff's badge. So at one point, he was a sheriff. But I think he's been sort of repurposed to be this William facsimile to keep her down on the farm. And that's why we see the milk can meet cute. That's how she met William. And I think Teddy has been programmed to, like, you know, do her meet cute and keep her locked into her, you know, purgatory, essentially. So that's that purpose. And then in freeing her, in creating this Wyatt backstory, which I think the whole Wyatt thing is a MacGuffin, to be honest with you, but in creating this whole Wyatt backstory, Ford sent Teddy off, which basically frees Dolores from her loop and sends her off. Like, I think he did that intentionally. I think he rerouted Teddy to free Dolores so that Dolores could come and be part of whatever master bullshit climax thing that he's planning. So that's my theory on Teddy.
Interesting. Okay. So the whole Wyatt thing, just nonsense, blow away. Like, the flashbacks and stuff we're getting ultimately not going to be important.
I mean, kind of important. Like, it's weird that Teddy's lying, right? Because at first it seemed like he was not a part of the slaughter, and then he was. I think it's a distraction for the Man in Black, because the Man in Black is like, oh, in this Wyatt, did you finally create an adversary for me? And I think that that's for distracting the Man in Black so he could send the real adversary, which is Dolores, I think. Because that would be a much more effective weapon, would be Dolores against, like, an 30 years later William, than some bullshit made up psychopath sergeant named Wyatt. Like, I don't know, that whole thing. That being said, if you watch the trailer for next week, there's some, like, crazy horned creature that it looks like, I don't know, I want to say some looks like something from the Black Cauldron. It's like this giant, tall humanoid thing with massive horns and a cloak that, like, jumps on the Man in Black. And he, like, wrestles with it. And so that might be Wyatt, like, sort of all gussied up in, like, weirdness. But I don't know. It's a weird image. It does not look like it belongs in the show. So maybe it's a dream. Who knows?
I just realized that I'd never watched the Next Week On from this week. I am so prepared for this. Wait, Satan's in this? This is crazy.
It kind of looks, yeah, it's like kind of like Tim Curry and Legend. I've obsessively watched like all the, cause you know, before the season started, unlike Game of Thrones, which is so, like, parsimonious with their footage, Westworld's like, we really need you to watch this show. Please do. So they throw everything at the wall and they're not worried about it, which is fun and freeing. And, so before the season started, they put up just a bunch of YouTube clips of, like, this season on Westworld. So there's a bunch of little footage, fun footage Easter eggs in there. Like, you see Dolores being assembled. I'm not saying there's only one black dude in Westworld, but the hands that are assembling her could be Jeffrey Wright's. So, yeah, that feels like a clue to me. Yeah. I feel like, I'm so sorry. I feel like this podcast is just me, like, getting out all my, like, weird.
That's okay. That's, we had a exactly whole Harry Potter for. And the Cursed Child podcast that I did that. You're the expert. We're poking that expertise.
You know what that, you know, when they're in the house and they, the little kid, and he's like, show him what's inside, and the little kid's face opens up. That's what my brain's doing right now. It's like opening up and trying to grasp the information. So
it's a lot. I will say that if you haven't, like, I spent way too long putting it all together, I hope, in the most coherent way possible in my, like, unlocking the seven most baffling mysteries of Westworld post on Vanity Fair that I did, like, a week and a half ago. That has, like, all my thoughts, and thus far they're still mostly on track, you know, because the Bernard robot thing did end up happening. So
Well, you had that whole Clementine's gonna be the dragon rider theory, and I'm sorry to tell you, but that's not working out.
Well, am I
telling the truth? Find out at Vanity Fair.
I think Felix is the prince who was promised, so I don't know what to tell you.
We'll have to wait till Westeros world.
Westeros world.
I'll begrudgingly be like, fine. that's how that'll continue. All right, so we got three more episodes left, and then at least a second season. I promise you, we're gonna get to this, and I feel like it's a good thing to end on. Where could Westworld end as a series, do you think, and justify its humble beginnings, but also stay interesting for a while? I guess I could go first in case that's too weird of a question.
Go for it.
But I definitely. like the idea that we're going to reach like the Cylon singularity Battlestar Galactica wise, but this time it's not going to be because Jesus did it. It's going to be good.
I'll amen that. Anything without Jesus in it. Sorry, Jesus. You're fine.
No, Jesus is fine, but once you throw Jesus in here.
Yeah,
all your season one questions just become, well, Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's like, anyway. But so I think like first season in the park, second season maybe still in the park, but not in a park under control. The second part of Jurassic Park, if you will. Third season, where the hell are we? Fourth season, future world. Fifth season, reckoning.
You know how the T-Rex goes to San Diego? It's San Diego, right? In Jurassic Park 2?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought of, like, with Maeve. I was like, Maeve is the T-Rex in San Diego.
Just becomes Killbot.
Yeah. I would watch Tandy Newton kill a bunch of people for a season. I'm fine with that. I'm sad we haven't seen her kill anyone yet. It's about time, man.
Yeah. Neil, let's go with you.
Okay.
Where does Westworld go?
I'm going deep on this one. Call in my shot.
Right.
I think that what we are going to learn about the 30 years ago timeline is that almost all, if not all, of the humans are actually dead in the future. And that these are all either cloned versions or robotic variants of these people that lived long ago, and they're all trying to figure out how to get out of the park. Like, they are locked in the park, and it is all about them, one, realizing that none of them are human, and two, trying to figure out how to get out of the park, only to realize that maybe there isn't a way out of the park. Or maybe all of humanity is gone and the park is what's left. Like, the park's running on autopilot. Something crazy like that.
Ooh. That would be a real kick to the nuts after a few years of investing in things.
Right, you just find out that, like, none of them are human and humanity is dead and life outside the park is gone.
You thought you were relating to humans this whole time. You were never relating to anything. Black Mirror. Joanna, hopes for the future seasons of Westworld or the end?
No, I'm just going to echo your no Jesus please policy. And I guess, you know, I don't quite agree with Neil's premise of an anthology, I do agree that I think we're going to lose some main characters this season. So I'm excited to see, like, what they do with casting going forward, because the casting's been so interesting. So, like, who do they get for Westworld season 2? Colin Farrell, Rachel McAdams, and Taylor Kitsch, perhaps? That would be amazing.
Can't go wrong there. That sounds like a recipe for success.
That's a power trio, if I ever heard
of it. Seriously. Just film them all in a smoky room somewhere.
They'll all be very sad. One, because his son is apparently fat.
Also Satan.
Listen, yeah. I like that show, but I don't know. I'm a complex person when it comes to television.
Like, I don't know why you need to diss Chad Velcoro like that when Chad Velcoro is the hero of True Detective season 2, but it's fine, buddy. It's fine.
Well, guys, next week we're actually going to take a week off.
Woo!
For the holidays. I have to go to a wedding. These guys have better things to do. And then we're going to all
really.
Reconvene for, we're all going to reconvene for something. Neil, what are we reconvening for?
Yeah. So we're thinking about a couple of different things, and we're definitely going to do one episode the week that we come back talking about Fantastic Beasts and where to find them. We will go and find them. So go see that over the holiday weekend, because we're going to want to talk about it. We also may go a little deeper on some of these Game of Thrones things, because I think we're hitting a breaking point of where if we really get organized, we could probably do a significant chunk of Game of Thrones talk for the super spoilers out there. And but otherwise, we'll be talking about wizards and stuff. So that'll be fun.
Dave, have I ever told you about how I'm incapable of singing the Harry Potter theme without making it Lord of the Rings?
No, try it.
What? It always goes like this. Bum bum ba da dum bum 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 ba da ba ba da ba ba da ba. That's how it goes in my head. I can't finish the Harry Potter theme. It always becomes.
I have that too. There are several songs in my life where I start singing one song and it turns into another song, and it's like the same five songs that are always stuck in my head. So
yeah.
Yeah. That was the genius of our reviewer who just sends everything with do-do-do-do-do.
The do-do-do-do-do abides.
Exactly.
Nice.
With that full circle, where can we find more of us in this inter-giving break? Neil, save this transition.
You can find me over at filmschoolrejects.com. You can find me on Twitter at Rejects. You can also get in touch with the show. Follow us at Storm of Spoilers and follow. Nope, don't follow, but email us if you feel the need to say something. Stormofspoilers@gmail.com. We are here for you no matter what you have to say. We are therapists, unlicensed, but close enough.
And Joanna?
You can find me on Twitter at Joe Wrote This. You can listen to me talk probably more intelligently, I'm sorry, about spewing about Westworld on Decoding Westworld. You can hear me talk about how the Trump election will affect the Oscars on Little Gold Men, or you can find me on VanityFair.com. It's actually really interesting. Really, I wasn't the one with the interesting insights, but it's actually
Is he going to host? Because that would be different.
No, it's just like, do we think that the people voting are going to vote in reaction to the election, or are the secret racists of the Academy, of which there are many, are they going to feel emboldened by the Trump presidency to like vote for white people?
So it's either going to be
like people are betting on Moonlight, but they're not sure how much money to bet on Moonlight.
No, it's more like I don't think Moonlight's going to get us there, but like Fences, you know, Fences versus like La La Land.
It's either going to be hashtag Oscars so much whiter or a hashtag Oscars so black. It's going to be awesome.
Oscars so fuck you, Trump. Maybe.
I'm Dave Gonzalez. You can find me on Twitter at DA7E. I blog at geek.com, been doing some pieces at Thrillist.com and podcasting at fightinginthewarroom.com. Yeah, shout out to the listener that emailed us about Westworld's connection to Dark Rides. I also similarly love Disney everything, so I think I'm going to reply to that.
Nice.
But until next time, guys, be good to each other, take some self-care week, and keep watching Westworld. We'll see you later.
Bye.
The earth is on fire. We don't have no daughter. Let the motherfucker burn.